I would like to introduce.
You can look
Ladies and gentlemen of the HBCU world, I'd like to introduce you to your HBCU aunties, Mia and Tyon of the Real Real University. Let's get into it. Today's
Hey,
topic.
y'all. Let's get into it. I like the HB.
Get into
I
it.
love the HBCU aunties, so to be honest with you. Like, we can stop the show right there, honestly. HBCU aunties.
It's cute.
TTs.
Y'all know we on, right?
Yeah, we on. It's
Yeah.
all good.
I
I
mean,
kind of
everything works
wanted
out
to
in
get in.
edit, B-roll.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
All right. So, are you ladies ready for today's topic?
Today's topic. Bring it on in.
Bring it on in. Should I or would you like to?
You bring it on in. You keep us on track, so I like it. Just be how we are, because that's what's going. That's what people love about us.
All right, so it's springtime and we are back into school. So we want to do that self-check and figure out where we are right now and what we should be doing going forward. Yeah.
Yeah,
All right.
let's do it.
Let's do it.
Well, Tayon tends to be, because she's motherly, she tends to be the one who might likes to keep us in check, where I'm more of a free flowing but still check. So I think one of the things we talked about, or one of the things that were at the top of the list is, you had a great, hopefully everyone had a great winter break. We rejuvenated ourselves. Our freshmen had a great understanding of what HBCU life, college life looks like, and now you're back in and you've made some commitments to yourself and you're ready to start this spring semester off. And so the first thing that came up on our checklist was the credit check. And we're not talking about that 700, 800 score or whatever it is nowadays that people want to have. We're talking about your checklist to graduation and what does it look like?
Yes, let's get into that credit check. Not your Experian, not your TransUnion, but it's just as valuable. But one of the things that you should be doing constantly, and it's really good to do it during the spring semester because it can set you up for what you need to do and how you need to spend your summer. So that credit check is checking in and seeing where you are with the credits that you've accumulated. Things could have happened over the fall. Did you pass all your classes? Because you do know that if you don't pass a class, that credit you did not earn. Did you go on and see, hey, that fall semester, especially for freshmen, a lot of the times your admissions officer getting in saying, hey, you might want to ease yourself into, college life and things like that. So don't take a full credit load. My advice is always to maximize that credit load. I mean, you're paying for anywhere in most universities, you're paying from anywhere from 12 to 18 credits. So again, academically or for that balance, just make sure you're trying to maximize that. So if you took 12 credits, think about it. If you're taking 12 credits consistently for 4 years, that doesn't necessarily tip the iceberg on where you need to be when it's time for graduation. So make sure you're evaluating those credits at the end of each semester, because what you can do is figure out where you need to supplement. And for the spring semester, preparing for your summer, if you need to, decide that you want to take some community college classes, again, to kind of supplement those credits that you may not have earned, you can make those decisions in the springtime, because what you want to do is you want to maximize all of the sessions. I mean, even your own school may have a summer, may have one or two summer sessions. So if you want to get caught up over the summer, you can. And so do those community colleges where it is a little cheaper to go and transfer your credits. Now, remember, if you are already a matriculating student at a university and you take courses at another school, those are transferable credits. The credits transfer, not the grades. So if you're looking to for something to boost your grade point average, you got to make sure that you're doing that at your own university. But also it's easier and it's cheaper sometimes to take some of those harder classes at community colleges, because again, that credit will transfer. If it's something that you might just net a C average out of instead of an A or a B, take it at that community college, because again, it's not necessarily making a dent or having the adverse effect on your overall grade point average. So again, make sure you're meeting with your advisor. And even going all the way back to when you matriculated in, because don't forget, some of you may have taken AP courses in high school. Some of you may have taken those kind of like those bridge classes from high school that the community colleges use to lure you into going to their community college. Those may save you from having to take particular courses, especially a lot of those introductory courses. So go back and make sure that those credits actually transfer. So you assume that you took those and the community college that you took them at or that was giving you the credit already sent those classes in. No, it was your responsibility to make sure that those classes were evaluated by your own advisor and they have counted towards your matriculation out of where you're currently attending. So that's your responsibility. So again, go back and kind of do that credit check because that credit check is the segue into your reality check.
Ray.
And that
Right.
reality check is, okay, am I on track academically and financially? Like based off of what I have left to take, do I have enough funds to cover that? Because again, you can use that summer to figure out if the internship that you take is paid or just for credit.
Or just for credit, right? I think what I love about it is knowing where you stand. You know, when we were in school, we had a course catalog. So of course, that's not where they are now. Everything is digital. I walked around. By the time I graduated, that one page had fallen out of my course catalog. It had been highlighted, crossed out, circled, X'd out because I did my credit check so many times to make sure that my credits were there. There are also things that universities require you to do that are not part of your course credit check, but you have to do it in order to graduate. Back in the day, we had to have our medical history with the university had to be up to date. So it was my senior year, and for some reason, I had to get the mumps, measles, and rubella shot all over again because they couldn't find my documentation that I had it. We had to take, and we can all attest to this because we all went to Morgan. You had to have passed your speech proficiency, your writing proficiency,
Totally forgot all
and there was
about
another
those.
one. Oh, your senior comp exam, right?
Senior
Those are
comp.
things that are not part of your course credit list, but it's part of the school's requirement in order for you to graduate. And that senior comp is what you take your senior year, obviously. But that speech, your writing, you know, you can register and take those after your freshman year because you've by then have taken speech. Most people did speech and English 101 or whatever it was that you need to take it. So just make sure that you are very aware. You have to make sure that you're people who are in place to make sure that you have a successful college career. They know who you are. Anybody who you hear talk about, my counselor didn't do this, my counselor didn't do that. How much time did you spend trying to get to know your counselor? Because my counselor was one of my best friends. Dr. Cooper was my counselor. And let me tell you, you would have thought Dr. Cooper, I was one of her kids. That's how much I talked to her throughout my college career. So just make sure that you are very aware of what your university requires for you. Also, our transfer students, not just the AP classes that you took in high school transferring, but Tayana, I know you can attest to this, Nika. I know you can too. Transferring in from one HBCU to another school, making sure that those credits transferred as well. Because like your world lit class that might have been at Lincoln was called History 102 at Morgan. And so you needed to make sure that you knew what it was. So it's a lot of tricks that you know no one's going to jump out at you and say, hey, let me sit down with you and make sure that your credits are in alignment. You need to sit down and make sure that your credits are in alignment. And that, like you said, that they're transferable. So that credit check is very important. You're going to do it multiple times because sometimes you took classes that they haven't recorded. You didn't get the grade, wasn't put in for some reason. I've heard that a lot of times in the nowadays, because everything is so technologically based, teachers are not putting grades in as soon as they could or should. And so you're sitting around waiting for grades. So you have to be very aware and on top of what's going on with your credit. So this is your spring semester for our freshmen. You came in, it was a lot, I'm sure. Hopefully you got a break, but you come in prepared, ready to get it done so that you can have a successful college career and not lose anything in the meantime.
I want
That's
to
what I
add to
do.
that what you said about again, kind of making sure that there's a good match between courses. One, remember that that is your responsibility if you are trying to take classes over the summer at a different university to get permission. You have to get permission to take those courses before you do. And on, not only that, it is your responsibility to find the course that matches the one that you're trying to get credit for in your own university. So
Right.
again, I think Mia mentioned, history 101, might be world history or something like that at one university, but history 101 could be American history at another one. So you have to make sure that you're doing a spot on comparison, catalog to catalog, course description to course description, to find out the one that you actually need that helps you graduate out of your university. And like I said, a lot of the schools require you to get permission. You just can't go off on your own and take whatever you want to take and say, here, I took this and and I paid for it, because you could actually waste money that way. So make sure, again, to Mia's point, you are aligned with your advisor, even your dean. Sometimes it has to go through your advisor, then get signed off by the dean. One thing that was unique about Morgan while we were there, not only did we have to meet the requirements of our major, we had to meet the requirements of our school.
Our school.
So that threw me for a loop. My senior year, you talking about, I thought I had it all together, even down to the wire. I'm like, oh, I can breeze through senior year with 12 credits, and then having to pick up an additional class in the middle of the semester in order to avoid having to pay full tuition to come back for the fall for one class. So make sure, like I said, you're not only meeting the requirements of your major, but you have to meet the requirements of your school. So make sure you understand what all of those are, so that that credit check is following you. You're in sync. You know exactly where it needs to be, and you're evaluating whether or not, you're in that kind of like that twilight zone phase where that next full semester might be two or three courses. And how can you rectify that? Because depending on if you're out of state or what your situation is, you don't want to have to come pay room and board, tuition and fees for just two classes when you can try and get it all taken care of in that one big chunk. So, yes, make sure that you are meeting with your advisors and you're literally kind of going through everything and getting the permission that you need. And sometimes those professors also need to sign off on your internships too.
Right. And so let's talk about, just because we're talking about the credit check, but all of this includes something that may be new to some and maybe what you are used to others. And I want to say it that way, planning, right? So all of this is planning. Right now, some of you, the students are back in school. Some of them come back next week. There's a time frame for everything. That very first week of school, maybe even 2 weeks, depending on your school, you need to know, because it's online somewhere. The time where you can add or drop a class is on, there's on a timeline. The time that you can subscribe, the time that you can apply for certain things is on a timeline. A timeline for transferring credits is a timeline for everything. That's how these universities get you a lot. You're not aware of the timeline. So you thought you did everything right, but you missed the deadline to submit certain things. And depending on your relationship and how you have built those relationships, and if you're a freshman, this is all new to you. If you're a junior and senior, a sophomore, you should be in the swing, hopefully. But those relationships that you have at the bursar's office, those relationships you have at the financial aid office, those relationships you have in your department, with your department heads, all of that comes into play. And not just the deans, I'm talking about the deans and executive assistants, because those are the ones, those gatekeepers, the ones who have the key to open the door that you need. It is very important for you to understand, because all of these things have a trickle-down effect. So when we're talking about your credit checks and you realize something isn't right, it is your responsibility to go and correct that wrong so you can make it right. And it's your tonality, it's your planning, it's your execution. All of those things come into play when it comes down, because this is your college education. This is your career. This is your career right now. This is your job, to be the best student that you can possibly be. So just take all that into consideration when we're looking into how to prepare yourself for how to execute this spring semester properly. But it all starts with that course catalog. Print that thing out. Don't try to execute it on the phone. Print that thing out, put it in that notebook, tape it on that wall, put it in your wallet. Mine looked like an archive by the time I was done. That thing was, you had to peel it open like it was in an Indiana Jones movie. You had to, it was a sacred document. But that thing was, I should have framed it. That's how bad it looked. But no, but it's very important to make sure that you do those things, because this is, you are the only one who you can hold responsible.
And the to the graduating seniors, a couple things with the whole credit check. There's one thing to finish everything, and then there's one thing that you get your family all excited about you getting ready to walk, and you do know you cannot walk if you are not financial. So literally, you could have completed all of the coursework, but they will not release you for graduation one until you have applied. And for those that don't know, you do know you have to apply for graduation.
Oh, yes.
That is a part of the whole credit check. You have to apply for graduation. And like Mia just mentioned, there's a deadline for that. So in the fall, you got to make sure, hey, if this is my time, hey, did I actually meet the deadline to apply for graduation? Two, they're not going to release anything if you are not financial. So you have to make sure that your bill is paid. Because it's one thing, like I said, to get ready, feel like you've completed all your classes. You've told me, Ma, Grandma, TT, Gram T, all your cousins and everybody to come up. And you cannot walk because they are not going to release you because you are not financial. So again, part of that is making sure that all of your funding has come in right before graduation so that you can get out of there. Another thing with planning and timing that she mentioned, for your juniors, your sophomore, your freshman, if you're taking summer internships, you have to make sure that you know exactly when you're going to be finished with your course load in order to start some of those jobs. Because some of these fellowships and things like that, the most exciting thing is being able to have a fellowship that's out of state somewhere. You have to actually kind of coordinate how you're going to get packed up, how you're going to put all your stuff away, where your stuff is going to be stored, and how you're going to get to from point A to point B at this new fellowship or this new internship. So you have, and also you have to keep in mind the start dates for those. So again, making sure that you're planning for when that final is going to be done, or making arrangements to say, I need to take my finals because I am, you know, in Washington, D.C., interning with the Department of Justice or something like that. And this was an opportunity that I can't miss. But that also goes back to making sure that you've talked to your professors and you've got that internship all approved. So, yes, it is. It's a plan. And, you know, me speaking as an HBCU mama, I don't want to be sitting here waiting for you at the last minute to figure out, oh, you actually have to come help me move 2 weeks prior to. Like, let everybody know, because you literally need to know if you're moving. And you also need to know the length of these internships, because sometimes they could be a little longer. They could be on a different state cycle. So they could be longer, and you're bumping up against when it's time for you to get back to your own university. So planning and knowing these dates is important. So look into, when you're applying anything, make sure you've got, just like Mia had a tendency to have that catalog with her, make sure you got that calendar with you too.
Yeah. And one good thing that you mentioned, the word that kept going through my head is advocating for yourself. Don't get overwhelmed thinking that because the dates don't match that you can't, or because your balance isn't paid, you can't. It's all about how you communicate. You can go to the bursar's office and work out a payment plan. These people do have a heart. It's about the approach. You can go to your professor and say, hey, I got this amazing internship. I mean, Nika's daughter just got an amazing opportunity. And I was screaming like I was about to go down there to Florida and be in an internship, right? But, you know, make sure that you, if you have to go the week before, coordinate with your professors. Let them know. They'll make arrangements for you. It's all about how you advocate for yourself. So make sure that you know that there is nothing that can, this is my favorite thing that I learned in school. Everything is negotiable. Everything is negotiable and everything can be worked out. You just have to work the plan. And that's why we're just wanting to make sure that you guys understand what that plan looks like, what your credits look like, if you got the internship, when's your start date, when's your end date, when you got to be out of campus, when you got to be out of your apartment. Communicate with your families, because that's the best way for you to have a smooth transition. And that's what it's really about, because when we get into the next topic about the fun things about school, right? It's not always just about the education, the academic part. And I know that's what you're there for, but let's be real. Any of us who step foot on any campus, HBCU, it doesn't make a difference which campus. Part of that is the fun that you get to have, and which I guess kind of goes into our next focal point of our checklist. So we got you in, we got you covered, we got your credits, we got all the things you need. Okay, but now here we are. Were you in a were you under a shell? Did you meet some people? Your friends. This is the long semester, y'all. You're going to have some times when you get to kind of chill out. The weather's going to break. You're not going to always be in that classroom. What are you doing with your friends? Let's talk about spring friendships. Not just spring, but, you know, freshmen, you know, it's everything is new. Sophomores, you know what you want to do. When that weather hits, and what do we call it? Bridgeology? We had Bridgeology at
Morgan. We had Bridgeology.
Right. Bridgeology took a whole semester for me, because I just Bridgeology myself on everyone's bridge. Morgan's Bridge, Dell State's Bridge, Lincoln's Bridge. I was everywhere. I was spring breaking with all of them. But you
and
know,
not only that, though, not only the Bridgeology, it's just something about the renewal of that spring. You know, it's like, you know, everything is new again. And a lot of the times, especially if you're into the Greek life, you know, those spring probates are really lit. So you want to make sure that you got out on the yard, you know, you're seeing people. It's that time of release. It's also that time that it's that perfect road trip time. Bonding. You can definitely bond on those road trips. You know, depending on if you're going to a popular destination for spring break, or like Mia said, just, you know, popping up on somebody else's campus, you know, during one of the biggest parties of the year. And a lot of the times, you know how there's homecoming in the fall, but then there's these spring flings. I mean, we had I Love Morgan Day, and there's all of these other little things going on. So make sure you're out there, and make sure you use this opportunity to get out and rip up and run up and down these state coastlines, and go to these places where you're meeting other like-minded college students.
Right.
So definitely,
you know, right. But we all chuckle like, yes.
Get out there. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what the meetups are like. Like, you know, when we were, there was Freaknik, there was the Kappa Picnic in Galveston.
Black College Reunion, Philly Greek Picnic. I mean, We had a lot.
Daytona Beach.
Yeah. We had a lot of different experiences. But yeah, get out, have fun, you know, meet some people, you know, meet people, go places, explore the city if that's not where you're from. Explore the city that you're in school in, you know. But one of the best things that we've learned as we've gotten older is reminiscing on all those experiences. That's what part of the college experience is too. So don't just get caught up in, oh, my, you know, school this. And I mean, parents, don't judge us, but this is the truth of the matter is that it can't be all academia. It has to be fun, you know, because these are memories and these are friendships that really do create your village as you grow older. I mean, we can all attest to our friendships that we have because of our college experience. I mean, I think all three of us, we know for sure that there's folks you can pick up the phone right now and call and be like, hey, and you might not have seen them in 15 years in real life, except for homecoming. But if you call them and you need them, they're going to be there. And that comes from the friendships you establish while you're on campus. So, you know, make sure you get out and you explore and you have fun at the same time.
And part of that too is, I mean, you know, even if your pockets are light and you can't afford to go anywhere, take this as an opportunity to go home with one of your friends that you met. That saved me a lot, and helped me actually discover my extended family, you know, going home with some of my friends, because I lived a little further out and I got a chance to, you know, get my black card in a lot of different cities because I went home with some of my friends. And I was also able to learn different things and get
Exactly.
different perspectives. Like, so and so family cooks sweet potatoes a lot different from mine. And actually I like that. I
Right.
like that. Learning traditions. I'll never forget one of my good friends, her mom was offended that I sat at her kitchen table and did not have anything hot in my mug. And from that point on, I have been drinking tea every morning because she told me the benefits of having that to kind of clear my head throughout the day, having something hot to open me up. And so that's been a ritual for the rest of my life. But had I not sat down with, this Caribbean family who pretty much chastised me for thinking that orange juice was it, I would have missed out on something like that. So, take that time. If you cannot, get back to your own hometown and things like that, explore different places, spaces and places with your friends and meet their friends and family. And because trust me, you'll become one of theirs as well. And also be
Absolutely.
that one to extend the invitation to some of those friends too.
Absolutely. Oh, one thing I wanted to go back on our checklist real quick before we wrap it up is you came home from your first semester, and you had a month. Some of y'all had jobs before you left and you didn't lock those jobs in when you came back. When you go back for your spring break, pop up at your job and see if they're hiring. So this summer you can have some money rolling through your pockets if you don't have an internship. Because your mama or your daddy or your family, your auntie, somebody is going to say, you didn't get a job yet. And you're going to want some money in those pockets. And those 3 months, is it 3 months? About 2.5 months of a summer break. Make sure you build that relationship with your employer. Because by the time you graduate, you could have a nice little piece of money that you have. I know my sister. I worked entirely through my college career, but when my sister went and came back and forth from her university, she was at Nordstrom's. I believe she went to Nordstrom's all the way, even after she graduated, until she got her job. So just keep that, put that on your checklist too. Like, okay, I went back and I wasn't prepared for my Christmas break. Go back spring semester, start applying for those jobs where you're going to be at home. You might decide you want to stay in the city where you go to school. You have to prepare for those things. So add that to your checklist too, because y'all, this generation, we all like to spend money, but y'all have high tastes. I mean, I guess maybe we did too, but I don't know. It just seems higher now. But make sure
Well,
you add that to your checklist. Employment.
and not only that, some of the places that you may work for throughout the time you're there might give you a little bit of tuition assistance. Just like Mia mentioned, her younger sister worked at Nordstrom. Coming out of high school, I worked at Marshalls. I was able to do Marshalls from high school all the way to literally that summer after I graduated, making that transition to, the actual real paychecks and things like that. But for the time that I was there, sometimes they would offer me a little bit of a stipend or some tuition assistance. But some of those larger companies, they will, especially if there's a chain in the city that you're working at. If you may have started in Philadelphia working at a particular place, and if they have a location in Delaware or something like that, and you work at that one, as long as you're accumulating the time, you may be able to get some tuition reimbursement or some tuition assistance as well. So keep
Your
that in mind.
transfer.
Where
Your
you work, strategically, where you work can kind of help you out in these situations as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a good checklist. That's a good checklist. Credit check, check. Friendship check. Spring break check. Get a job check.
So for
Check,
all
check.
these checks and balances, always make sure to hit up your HBCU aunties at The RealReal.
Yay. Deuces. Y'all are so cute. How did Nika do You have
that?
been listening to your HBCU aunties, Tyon and Mia. Thank you guys for your advice this evening. I hope it's received with the same love that it was given.
Oh, amen to that.
All
Thanks.
right.